This is the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylist Media in association with KBB Birmingham 2020.
Welcome to the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast, and it's our first episode of 2020. So happy new year to you all. I'm the managing editor for Taylist Media, Andy Davis, and joining me today is...
Elspeth Pridham, editor of Studio Magazine.
Hello, Elspeth. Happy New Year to you.
And Happy New Year. When can we stop saying Happy New Year?
Well, this is the first episode, so we won't do it on the second one.
All right, then, yeah.
So did you have a nice Christmas, though?
Yes, I am now physically the shape of a Quality Street tin, but otherwise, yes, very yes. Nice indeed.
Well, I know I'm my complexion is entirely Cadbury's chocolate. Now, in particular, before we get started here, I want to say Happy New Year to, because I had a look today, I want to say Happy New Year to all the countries around the world where people have downloaded us.
Oh, hooray.
Yeah.
Where?
So, well, we've got the USA, we've got Canada, we've got Australia, we've got Sweden, France, Germany, Netherlands, Russia. It's all very intercontinental.
Don't you think we should be saying it in, is it Bonnet? That's the only one I know.
No, because that would probably offend them.
Oh.
Now, but in particular, I want to say a big hello to the one person in the UK who downloaded us on Christmas Day.
What?
Yeah. I'm only assuming they were walking a dog or something.
Yes, get a life comes into mind there, but yeah. Perhaps I shouldn't say that.
Well, maybe they went into the showroom because they're probably sorting somebody's worktop out or something, weren't they? Now, we've got a really interesting interview to kick off the new year, and that's why you're here, Elspeth, because just before Christmas, you went off to chat with product and interior designer Marcel Wonders.
I did indeed, yes. I was really delighted to meet him because he is, well, he's kind of the rock star of product design, really. He's worked for all sorts of people creating lighting, furniture, bathroom fittings, names like Laufen, Polyform, Boffy. And I thought he would be a little bit world-weary of talking to journalists, but actually he's very relaxed and easy to chat to, and I think he was quite open and honest in the interview.
Yes, and if you Google pictures of Marcel Wonders, he's basically the coolest man in the entire world as well.
Yes, I was trying to skirt around that, but yes, he's a very good-looking man.
Yeah. All right, don't rub it in. Now, before we get into that, a quick reminder that the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast is brought to you with the help of our very good friends at KBB Birmingham, and we're now just a few weeks away from the biggest kitchen, bedroom and bathroom show in the UK. Now, we'll be there doing live versions of this podcast. I suspect to nobody, but you never know, some people might come and see us. And of course, you can get info on all the features and exhibitors at kbb.co.uk, where you can also register your place. Now, Marcel Wonders, why specifically were you talking to him just before Christmas?
He had just worked with Laufen. He's worked with Laufen before, and he'd been producing a new collection for them, the new classic collection, so I wanted to find out about developing a bathroom brand, the specifics of working on bathroom products, and how that collaboration all came about.
Well, we'll hand over to you with Marcel Wonders.
Okay. Marcel.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Just flown in this morning from Amsterdam.
Just around the corner.
Excellent, yes. Not too far away at
all.
Not
too far, no.
Your design studio is very much in demand. How many are on your team?
We are, at the moment, around 50. We've been a bit more, we've been a bit less, but now we're 50.
And are they international designers, or do they tend to be Dutch as well?
If I count the designers, so the creative teams, I think 80% of them is foreign, at least, maybe more. We've got a lot of foreign people, yeah.
And does that bring different aspects into the design studio? Do you find that people from different nationalities can bring different ideas?
Yeah, I think in any case, we just look for the best people, and obviously we get people that apply from all over the world, and so obviously we get all kinds of people in. I mean, I think it's always great to have diversity in every context, and also in the context of my studio. I don't think that it's, I think it's more that, you know, they bring different skills to the table. I think it's, yeah, well, anyway, we have a very international team, and it does what it does.
Right? Yeah, like, it does what it does very well. Yeah. And how are you, personally involved are you in each collaboration?
I think, let's say, in a way, we're organized in such a way that me, myself, with Gabriele Chiave, who's my right hand and the senior creator in the studio, together we sign off every project. We start and end up every project. If now I'm here, he's pushing projects and the other way around. So we have, in a creative way, we have the same responsibilities. I would say every project starts and ends with us. And in the meantime, there's a team of fantastic people that run it, push it, come up with ideas and all this stuff. But it kind of starts with us. We have to like it and we have to put it in a certain direction and we have to sign it off together. So it's a little bit like that. So we're involved in everything.
And what is the benefit to a manufacturer of using an outside design studio rather than creating products solely in-house? Why would people come to you?
Well, I think there's there's different reasons, I think. I mean, I think it's healthy to have some people in your studio that or in your company that do creative work. But I think it's really great if they can work together with people that they like to work with and that they admire and that they think can do something different. Besides that, we bring communication skills and we bring a brand. I think we bring also a fantastic international team of people with fantastic ideas. I think also, I mean, I do believe if I look at the work we do, I believe that the work that we do is basically they're my babies, and so if my work is my babies, then I'm the mother, and the companies I work with they're the father, and so if we do well, then it means that we work with smart fathers, because otherwise you get ugly babies. We work with beautiful fathers, otherwise we get ugly babies, because you can't make beautiful work with ugly fathers, right? So we pick our fathers wisely, and then if we are now happy with the fathers, then we have to listen to them and make sure that their genetic formula like pours into our projects, and that we can do something which without the company we could never do, and the company could never do without us. That is the whole point. I think a company is able to do stuff on their own, but as an outside vehicle, as an outside creator, you can bring something to the table that the company on its own can't do. And that's the whole purpose of it. I mean, I think companies can do great stuff together. You can, let's say, make a copy of yourself, but to make a new, inspiring version of yourself, I think you need someone from outside.
What design principles do you always try to adhere to?
I mean, I would say I don't believe in so many principles. I believe that every product has its own logic. Having said that, I mean, we try to make a type of design that's more romantic, more durable, more meaningful. We try to touch people deeply. We try to make things that people will never throw away. There's a lot of stuff that is always reoccurring because we do things that are similar in a way. We don't make... I mean, design today is such a huge terrain, right? I mean, people design hair, people design... robots, people design outer space stuff. We do luxury goods, we do stuff for the interior. We do the things, I believe, that people have because they love it. Mm-hmm. Because they love it. That's the things that we do. And obviously, the rules of the things that people should love are more limited than the rest of the world, right? And I believe that I want to do... make things that really people embrace forever. I want to make the antiques of tomorrow and of the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, so that longevity and that real care.
Yeah, to me, that's really, it's fashionable to say it in a way. But it's something that I think for designers has always been the key. I mean, when I was in school, I mean, when I was a kid, as a designer, what do you want? You want to make something that's amazing, that people love so much, and that will last forever, right? Yeah. So it's very fundamental. Designers want to make things that are super important to people and forever. So it's the most that you can do. And of course, they want to do it with as least as possible. So with nothing, you can make everything forever. I mean, that's the whole idea. With nothing, you make everything forever. Now, that's not going to work, but everything that's more near to that goal is what we want to do. Uh-huh. You want to make really great things that people really admire to have and they love to have and that they will give their children once they leave.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that enthusiasm is fantastic. I believe the New York Times actually called you the Lady Gaga of design once for being unconventional and full of energy. I think we've just seen that energy. Yeah. Would you agree with that description of yourself?
I just coincidentally, I read the other day, someone wrote like, yeah, it's because she's adventurous and always energized. And so three words, maybe, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of magazines that have written amazing stuff like that. I can try find it and read a bit of it, because I can't kind of have it on my iPhone. This might take a bit of a little break, and during the break I'm going to find this list, because it's fun. Ah, yes, here. Pretty fast. I was called the Milan's Houdini of materials by the New York Times. One of your 25 leaders of change by Business Week. The uncrowned king of the new antique. The world's most acclaimed talent. A Calvinist poet. Larger-than-life designer. Star designer. From cunning knives to wise king. Quirky, enigmatic Dutch designer. Marcel Anders, design hero. La guitare du design, and so it goes on and on. I can do this
Does
for
that put
half
a
an hour.
Pressure on you to. I mean, those are fantastic descriptions.
No, it's just wonderful that some writers are excited to come up with more than storytelling. They just make it interesting.
Yeah.
So it's not me that's so great. It's writers that come up with interesting metaphors to describe what they have gone through, and I think it's beautiful. I love to work with people that love their job, and so if you come up with beautiful poetry like that, I think you're maybe a better writer than if you don't. So I'm happy with it.
And can you talk me through your design process when first you're confronted with a project, or you're working on a project for yourself or a product? How do you start? Do you start with sketching, or where do you go to start?
Well, I mean, we do product and interiors, and so, and then basically every product, I really want to look at it from afresh, and we do very different things. So there's not a real typical project, but in a way, on average, what you really have to do to start a project is to really investigate. You have to know what you're doing, because you're basically always finding a new terrain, whether it's an interior and you find a new place or a new owner or a new company, new technology, new functionalities. There's always a lot of research to be done, and we do that always until we kind of believe that we have an understanding of the terrain, of the scope, of the challenge. So we really can create a briefing to ourselves that makes sense. Because if you can't kind of come up with an idea that gives value to a project, why even do it, right? And we kind of like to make things that, besides being great, they're also a bit interesting and different. And so to surprise the world, you have to first surprise yourself. So that's our biggest challenge, to find something that we are really excited about. I really, really feel that if we can pull this off, we are better than we were yesterday.
And you can still find excitement in things in the world.
I would not be in design if I wouldn't be excited about it anymore.
Good point.
Because there's a lot of wonderful things in my life that I can do elsewhere.
Yeah, very good point.
Be
on the beach.
Yeah. And I can go on with a few other things. Yeah. There's beautiful things in life.
You've obviously collaborated on all sorts of different products. What particular challenges face you when you're asked to do bathroom products?
I think it's interesting because in a way what we are responsible for as designers is the relationship that our audience has with the artificial surrounding. I mean, we are creating an artificial surrounding, and designers are responsible for the relationship people have with that surrounding. So that's our psychological task. Now, there's a psychological and a material task. In the bathroom, stuff gets really rough because architecture is unforgiving. It is square concrete without any softness inside. So for us to live in that space, we need our clothing We need wallpaper and curtains to blend the hardness of architecture. So we couldn't live in architecture. We need an interior for us to live in it. We need clothing for us to live in it. So that's the two big borders, the two big areas where one defends the other. Now, a bathroom is a special place because it's small. It's a small concrete space, square, and we are naked. So we're pretty vulnerable, and it's a very demanding square little space. So ultimately, you know, to do it well, you know, it's kind of important. It's kind of important. And so it's a beautiful challenge to make bathrooms. Because also from a functional point of view, I mean, most people don't have endless space in the bathroom.
So. No, absolutely.
And a lot has to happen there.
Yes, a lot has to happen. It's got to actually work, hasn't it, as well as look attractive. So if we move now on to the new classic collection from Laufen, how did the collaboration actually begin with Laufen? I understand you worked on a hotel with them initially.
Well, we did work on a hotel in Doha, and in that property we had a kind of a special room with a special layout, and in a special position we had a... envisioned a tub that we at the end wanted to make a custom version. We didn't want something from the shelf. I like it that way. And so we designed this thing, which is, you know, we're designers, so we can do that. But then to realize it, to make one tub is also not so difficult to make, but to make 300 for a good price, it's kind of something else. And so we had to find someone that was able to do this with the good quality and everything, because, you know, hotels are demanding spaces. And so we were able to find, at the end, we were able to find Laufen for this, and we started to do this project. And it's kind of nice. We started to look at each other with different eyes, and at some point we came up with the idea to do something more together. And we started to do a project, which became the New Classic collection.
And describe that to me. What are the features of New Classic?
Well, I think the collection of Laufen, as we know it, is architecture, I would say. It's geometric and architecture. Mm-hmm. I think we all have an idea what that means. And so obviously it goes a lot in new projects, new built projects, professional surroundings. We wanted to make something that is maybe also easy to use in a rebuild, in a cities, in private areas. We wanted to do something that is not only architectural, but also a bit more human. Because as I spoke about this road between my naked body and the squareness of a concrete block, I wanted to not make one step in between, but two steps in between. So the whole collection always has a bit of a square geometric part and a rounded classical part. So it's new and old. And it really has this kind of subtle way to intermediate between the two. At the same time, it's also something that it's a collection that is not modernistic in its in the way that it has no history. It has history. There is it makes a connection with a very beautiful old bowl that's maybe 100 years ago people used to have in their bedroom to wash themselves. Oh, yeah. So very simple metaphor, iconic in its own way. So it's in a way it's mediating between the past and the future. It's mediating between, I would say, architecture and naked bodies, and it's mediating between, I would say, architecture, interior. It's mediating between. It's really a mediator.
Yeah, and you used very much so Laufen's own material, Sofia ceramic, within this, which I think can make very fine lines.
We were lucky because when we started the project, the idea was to work with a regular ceramic, but more when we start to look at what our design was, more and more we start to understand that this was really something that really, if we could, we had to make it from sapphire ceramic. Sapphire ceramic is very special ceramic. It's harder, it is stronger, it's tougher, and therefore you can make it lighter and thinner. And so if you would have a kind of ceramic piece that is closed, then it's still lighter and therefore it consumes less energy by making. But especially our design is very open, means you can see the thickness of the material. Mm-hmm. It really becomes fantastic to see how thin we were able to make this piece and still having the strength that you need in a position like that.
Simple. And so again, I would imagine that chimes in with your design of the soft curves and the thin yeah. lines, but then some of the square, more angular
yeah.
shapes.
Yeah, yeah. Well. It really was a fantastic coincidence that we were able to use this material that Lauf has been developing over years, and it really made, because we were halfway down the process that we really stopped it and started re-engineering. Yeah. For this material, so it took us a year more to develop
it. Oh, really?
But it really was worthwhile because it really became much more beautiful. Yeah.
And are you happy with the finished collection?
It's really cool. It's really cool. I'm super happy with it. Yeah. And we have been talking about the collection now for a year to the press, and now so slowly but surely it starts to trickle down into yeah. stores because it's always difficult. And we got really enthusiastic people surrounding the collection, so it looks that we're going to do something interesting and important.
What do you think good design in general brings to our lives? How does it improve our lives?
Well, I think it's a bit complicated. With design used to be something that we would understand what it was, but since I would say, maybe the 60s or 70s, maybe. We have replaced design with design thinking, and that has taken such an enormous it's everywhere, right? I mean, you can see design show up everywhere, and design thinking as a way to really look at humanity and see how it uses and how it can evolve into itself to new heights. I mean, it's everywhere, really. And so obviously the rules of design, therefore, are different everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think I try to live without too many rules, and I try to really reinvent projects every time, because really I don't think there's too much reason anymore to think that the rules are more important than the results.
Yeah.
Although we've been thinking that maybe for 100 years.
And what's your favourite possession? What do you have that you just love?
I have a little vase that I think it's 3,100 years old. It's a little Chinese vase. It's really ugly. But, it's under my protection, and I'll take care of it. It's funny because it's a little vase that it's been on the bottom of the sea for a long time, but you see that once it was in the kiln already, it fell over,
yeah,
and it bumped against the neighboring little pot, so there's a little mark there, and you can therefore put it also in two ways. So it's a failure from day one.
Yeah,
it's a failure from day one. 3,100 years ago it was made, and it's probably the failure of the kiln, right? And still it's there, and still I have it, and I feel very responsible. I made a copy of it maybe 20 years ago, and that copy now is in production. So automatically that copy is like 16% smaller. Mm-hmm. So, and we made not too many, but maybe we sold thousands by now. So after 3,100 years, that failure of a little pot gets children, not too many, but yeah, maybe 1,000 or so. So it's kind of a remarkable little journey for a little pot. And it reminds me of how unpredictable the life of an object, yes, can be.
And also it doesn't have to be perfect to be loved, does it? It can be
quirky. It works maybe better if it's not perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of is cute, right?
Oh, I think that. Oh, that's fantastic. And who inspires you? Is there any one particular or more than one person who's inspired your work over the years or inspired you to get started?
Yeah, I think there's an endless amount of people that have been influential to my work. And again, there's very few designers that have not taught me something. Mm-hmm. I think the list is too long. And also outside of design, I think a good student always learns. So I think there's a beautiful way. I mean, there's very few people that have taught me everything, but there's very few people that have taught me nothing. And I'm grateful for so many people, therefore.
And is there anything left that you would still like to design? I mean, obviously you've done lighting, furniture, wallpaper. Is there anything out there you think, oh, I'd love to have a go at that?
Yeah, there's two things. I want to do a big opera at the Met in New York.
Oh, wow.
To finally do
that
a good
would
opera.
Really let your imagination go.
Yeah, that's something I want to do. And then I would like to make a big mosque in the Middle East. Big one.
Yeah. Fantastic. So big projects is what we're looking forward in the future.
Yeah, but just like, I mean, it's things that more than big, I think they're difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to be strong and good enough. For an opera, I have to be good enough, which is very difficult. You have to have the time for it, because, to do... I mean, I want to do one, so... yeah. I don't want to do three. I don't want to do one, so it has to be really...
Have you got an actual specific opera in mind that you'd like
really
to do?
Has to be really amazing. No, not yet.
Okay.
I could see myself doing very different ones. Uh-huh. It's not like I need... one particular, for the mosque, I think it's really important. Design is a very political activity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even if people maybe don't see it so much, I think it's a very political activity, and it's able to do, connect worlds. And I think it would be great if I was asked to make a mosque, and I would do an amazing mosque. I think that'd be a really beautiful peace project. So I'm happy to do that.
No, that'd be fantastic.
I started developing a visual language that's based on the divine geometry that lives in those areas.
Yeah.
That is their way to decorate and to design. And so I'm developing a language that I am... since 10 years developing for that. So
because the historical background to build up to doing that as a final project is huge.
Well, it's more that, the divine geometry is based on calculus, and for us to do it better than what they have done is almost impossible. So I started to make computational designs for that. So I'm studying that. Yeah. I'm studying computational design programming.
Fascinating. Well, this is my last question for you, and then I will let you go. We're coming to the end of 2019. What's been the highlight of this year for you?
Oh, my daughter had her 21 dinner, and that was amazing.
Fantastic.
I had a wonderful time with her friends, and I think that was definitely my highlight for the year.
And is she going into design at all? Has she got the creative side?
She's a very creative girl. And she is, as far as it looks now, not going to design. She's doing international business administration, but she'll end up doing something creative, I guess.
Yeah.
But creativity, as I said, design thinking. There's no business anymore, or maybe it has never been. Not anymore. I think there's no success without creativity. Mm-hmm. You can't have a company and be successful without creativity. So I think creativity has become one of really a few very important traits that will guide the world into the future.
Hope so. That's been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for your time, Marcel.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Marcel wanders in conversation with Elspeth Pridham there. Now, he's proper enigmatic designer, isn't he?
Oh, I think one of the joys of my job is talking to designers, because it's not a job for them. It is what they are. So every bone in his body is design, and whatever project he's working on, he's really enthusiastic about it. And within that interview, he mentioned some of the other things that he'd like to work on, like stage design and a mosque, which I found fascinating.
That was a really good bit, because you ask him the standard you know, question of what would you like else would like to do, expecting him to say bath or toilet. And he says, I want to do an opera and a mosque.
Yes, and afterwards we continue chatting for a little while afterwards, and he really means it, and he's already working on designs, and you know, he doesn't want to stop. He just, there's ideas in his head and they need to come out. He's a really interesting guy to talk to.
And my favourite bit, obviously, as I'm sure most people, is where he got his phone out and he listed all the things that people have called him. So I've actually come, because I want to get on that phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. So would you like to call him?
Well, how does this sound? Marcel Wonders, the Harry Potter of pottery.
Oh, now. Well, yes. It's not quite as cool as being the Lady Gaga, is it?
But all right, fair enough.
The Harry Potter of pottery would do.
Now, you say about being cool, but tell our esteemed listeners here exactly where you recorded that podcast.
Well, I'd gone to meet Marcel in a hotel, and we were supposed to be meeting in a meeting room, but the fire alarm, they were testing it, and they were testing it for rather a long time. So we ended up doing the interview in a bedroom. I don't know, do you remember the Big Breakfast? It used to be on Channel 4, and Paula Yates used to interview people in a bed. So perhaps that's a new feature that we can introduce to the podcast.
Well, let's not set a precedent, because there's a few people that will not want that, and we want to discourage interviewees. But basically, you ended up spending an hour in a bedroom.
In a bedroom with Marcel Wonders, yes. Yeah. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, well, you could audibly hear you getting lost in his eyes.
Yes, I do try to be grown up and sophisticated, but I don't manage it very often.
Well, look, we'll end it there, but we'll be back next week. Don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss any episodes, and rate and review us too, please, as it helps more people find us. We'll be back next week.
Bye.